Hello everyone and welcome to Google News Initiative's live training session on Earth and Earth Studio. My name is Miguel D'Souza. Before we begin today, I'd like to start by acknowledging the traditional custodians of these lands on which we meet and recognize their continuing connection to land, waters and community. I pay my respects to their elders and to them and their cultures, and to elders past, present, and emerging. My name is Miguel D'Souza. I am Google News' teaching fellow for 2021 and 22. I'm a journalist, teacher, and a trainer. I've been working on the internet, putting out news since 1994 for companies like AAP, news.com.au, 7 News, and SBS. So, thanks for joining us today. We are going to be having a look at Google Maps, Google My Maps, Google Earth and Earth Studio. Along the way, we will just quickly look at how it is possible to put together a few projects using all of these tools, and you might find out about a few other sources of map information. We'll also show you a brand new feature that's in Google Earth right as we speak. There's a very large range of mapping and satellite tools available, produced by Google. Maps help tell news stories. For breaking news stories, a locator map can be incredibly useful and produced very quickly in Google Maps. Whereas for more detailed storytelling, Google Earth's collaborative toolset can now allow you to create projects out of Earth locations. We're going to look at the whole suite of Google's map and Earth tools. We'll cover each in some detail, and I'll let you know about new features in each one. So, just quickly, a reminder that Journalist Studio contains a suite of tools to help journalists work in a secure, safe, and also encrypted environment. But first, let's get started with Google My Maps. Now, Google My Maps is a great place to start with Earth tools. And the reason why is really because you can quickly and create simple online maps. You can import data from spreadsheets like KML. We can also import CSVs, Excel documents, KMLs, or GPX into it. It has easy drawing tools. You can add photos or videos. You can share links or embed maps that you create on your page. You can also essentially create annotated points on a map to use later in things like Earth Studio. Now, the example that you can see on screen is the result of a search I did for KML files using the syntax Australia file type colon KML. That was as simple as that. It's a detailed annotated map of Australian military bases around the world. Here's how simple it is to use a KML file in Google My Maps. And let me just make sure I've got that URL on screen. Oh, I do. So, you start by creating a map. And for that, I might just go to a live demonstration. So first things first, you go to a live map. You just simply hit create new map up here. And search for a location. In this case, I'm going to search for Arnhem Land. Once you find it, you'll see that I just want to show you a couple of little features here. Firstly, if you want to change the map that you're looking at, you can simply choose one of these views. I'm going to go for satellite with labels. Then, cool. Now, let's have a look at a few other things. You can see here, it's added Arnhem Land to a little menu I've got over here. Now, if I click on that, like you can see I can use the add to map command, and there it's actually added it. But what I can also do here is, if I wanted to, I can edit the spot. And then save that spot, and it's then added to my map. You can then also do all sorts of other things with Google My Maps, including using the, and let me quickly show you actually before I go there, you can also share your maps simply by hitting that share button. So I might give mine a name. And now, if I wanted to, I can copy that link and share that. Or if I also wanted to, I could, in fact, embed that content. Although in this case, because I'm signed in as me, it won't let me do that. But anyway, I can also, if I wanted to, use content which I've imported, for instance, like this example, which is a flight route map of Australia, which I grabbed. And let me just show you the end result. So this is a map I actually didn't create. I simply just grabbed the KML file from the internet and added it to this map as a layer. And you can see here, it's completely annotated with all sorts of really interesting detail about airports and air routes around the country. So that's using Google My Maps and its import feature. So let's have a look at Google Earth Pro. Now, Earth Pro is still available. It's a downloadable version. I've just put the URL for where you can download it, but you will also find a download link in Google Earth, the online version. Google Earth Pro still allows you 3D exploration, use of historical imagery. You can still, of course, toggle between buildings and terrain, import various data sets like GIS and GPS, and it's still updated, and as well as using KML files. It also allows you to print and export large images of Earth or movies of your maps. So don't forget for I suppose a design level solution, you may still be interested in using something like Google Earth Pro. Of course, what's still available as well is Google Earth, and we've got some interesting new features. Now, Google Earth, of course, still has the Android and iOS apps, still has the Explore, Search, and I'm Feeling Lucky features, and Voyager, which is a kind of geographic magazine in Google Earth. It also has creation tools. The desktop version allows for story creation as well as the ability to create and share project views. And when I said desktop version, by the way, I mean the online version, which is the one I'm referring to. And let me just pop the URL up on screen as well. So that's the version we're looking at right now. You can tell your own stories in Google Earth and share these stories. It also has quite a few of the other features of Google Maps, which is, of course, the ability to be able to measure tools, change map styles, etc., and stuff like that. Now, Google Earth supports creation tools, and the key tool here is the project tool, which allows for storytelling using satellite imagery. Now, I'm going to demonstrate how you can do that. I'm just going to start on this project page. Now, look, I was actually just wanting to do a little demo about Fukushima nuclear power plant. So you can see I've already searched for it, and I've brought it up online here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add it to a project. You can see this will come up immediately. Now, if I select Add to Project, I'm going to actually create a new project. So you simply just do that. Give your project a name, and then simply save it. Now you can see you have the capacity to edit any place that you choose. What it will allow you to do is replace the existing content that's there, for instance. So I could do that if I wanted to, but what I'm going to do in this case is I'm simply going to change the view that I've got. So I want to zoom out a little bit so I can capture the whole plant, including the protective seawalls. Now, I might even switch to a 3D view That looks pretty good. So now I can simply capture this view. Okay, so let's go back. So you can see there, I've already got my view added there of the Fukushima power plant. Okay, well now I want to basically show you how I might be able to use some of these little features you can see down here. Well, one is the ability to draw lines or shapes. Well, I want to show in my little animation where the wastewater has been stored over time. And there are various spots, but look, I'll pick one. So first, just select what you want. And in fact, I'm just going to hide that and I'll show you that all over again. See down here, see this little marker? Just select that, it'll go blue. I'll just zoom in so you can see what it looks like. So now pick a spot that you want to identify. Well, here's my starting point. Just going to draw around this area here and just close that shape. We'll give it a little label. And you can see it's already by default has my project open there for me to add. Then I simply hit save. Cool. So let's just zoom out a little bit. And now what we'll do is just quickly boot that. We'll just wait for that to reload. And while we're doing that, I'll just show you a version of that project which I created a little earlier. That one seems to be taking its time to reload. Ah, here we go. Let's just zoom out again. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to add a different spot to this. How about we zoom out a little bit, and I'm going to move to Sendai Bay, which is a little bit further along. You'll see it as I zoom out a bit. In fact, we can actually even just do a quick search for it. There we go. So the interesting part of Sendai Bay is in fact that that is where some fisheries are. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to change our little caption up here. So let's say, for instance, we're going to add a picture. So just happen to have a picture of a scorpion fish. So we're just going to add that to that. As you can see, everything that I've added is in fact auto-saving. So what I'm going to do is now capture that view. And I think we're pretty happy with that. So now what I want to do is I want to show you what my presentation looks like. So we just simply hit present. And you can see very quickly, started with the Fukushima power plant. If I want to navigate through it, I can simply click through these, and again, one more to head over to the Sendai Bay scorpion fishery. Pretty cool. Now, one last feature I want to show you is we go up here to this three-dot menu, and you've got your option of exporting the whole lot as a KML file. So that's what I will do now. So just remember, go up here to the three dots, click on this, export as a KML file, and that will then download your file for later use. And I'll show you what you can do with it later on. Okay, so that's what you can do with Google Earth. I just want to show you a brand new feature, which is pretty amazing, really. Previously, it hadn't been possible to access historic imagery in Google Earth. With the latest update, you can now create time-lapse and look at how the surface of the Earth has changed over the last 15 years. Billions of people have turned to Google Earth for the broadest view of our planet. And look, let me just share it with you so you can try it out yourself. Working with the US Geological Survey, NASA and Time, Google released more than a quarter century of images of Earth taken from space, compiled for the first time into an interactive time-lapse experience. Now, Earth's view has always been of a single satellite snapshot in time, but now Google has undertaken the task of combining Landsat and Sentinel data, something like 24 million satellite photos from the past 37 years. And it has created this fantastic time-lapse tool. The complex process has resulted in a feature which allows you the ability to see an evolving picture of any location on the planet through Google Earth. Also, an added feature is that you can actually download MP4 videos of Google Earth time lapses. Here's a high resolution download of the city of Brisbane's growth. Let me show it to you. What you're looking at here is a version of a Google time-lapse of Brisbane, which is available right now for download on the Google time-lapse website. And I'm sure that there will be others added as time goes on. Okay. So back to time-lapse. Here's a GIF of a Google time-lapse of the effect of rising temperatures on a part of the Indian Himalayas. Recently, melting glaciers caused by climate change triggered a disastrous and deadly flood, which destroyed towns, power stations, and killed dozens. Now, Google Earth time-lapse will allow you a year-by-year look at satellite images of the area. Let me show you how to do it. So what I've done is I've searched for and I've found the area in the Indian Himalayas where the recent glacier disaster occurred. Now, what you can see down here, I'll just zoom into it, is over here. You can see this ship wheel down here. Now that is what you need to activate historical imagery or Google Earth's timeline feature. So what I'm going to do is firstly, I'm just going to prepare my view. I might just move back to where I can see Kanchenjunga, which is in fact the third highest mountain in the Indian Himalayas. So I'm just going to zoom out a bit so we can see a little bit more. Now, again, just to show you how it works, I'll zoom in. Click on the Activate Historical Imagery button, and you've got a couple of options. One, you can simply enable the time lapse, and when you do that, you can change the speed at which it works. You can double it, or you can slow it right down. Let me show you what it looks like. So we'll just hit play. And as you can see now, you can see as the year counter gets closer and closer to the present day, you can see essentially the disappearing glaciers, snow, as temperatures rise over time. It's quite a remarkable tool and really worth investigating. You can also, if you want to, pause it at any moment in time and then simply click through the various periods in history. If you were specifically interested in a moment in time. So for instance, we can have a look just at 1993 and contrast it even more recently with the aftermath of the Himalayan earthquakes. So you can see it allows you quite a degree of flexibility and quite an amazing and rich way of checking through how various sorts of environmental and climate change related issues have played out. It's a very, very useful tool for reporting as well. So we're going to just press on and take a look at Earth Studio. Now, Earth Studio allows you to generate high resolution animations and incorporate your Earth or MyMaps projects such as KML overlays. Let me show you what I mean. Remember that with Earth Studio, you can use keyframe animation for video fly-throughs in Google Earth, sequences of views, flights, zooms. Every frame is fully captured for smooth video, and it also integrates with professional video editing tools. Now, if you have a look on screen, you can see here that you can use one of the quick start projects to create a project. And then using that, you can then use the import, or you can import content into it using the overlays panel. Now, I'm actually going to show you how this works. You might recall earlier, I created a few projects using Uluru. So let me just go back to that. So you can see here my project with the Uluru National Park, which you can see over here. Now, let's just say I want to just add something to it. So I'm just going to quickly go to search, and I want to add the nearby formation known as Kata Juta. So I'm just going to search for that. I'll bring up search, hit enter. And now we're going to add this to our project. I'm going to add that. I'm going to use the edit place feature to make sure that we have a beautiful 3D view. That's fantastic. I just capture that view. Cool. So now all I need to do is go back to my project and simply export it as a KML file. You can see it down there. So now, why don't we create an orbit of Uluru? Let's just quickly search for it. We're just going to search for the whole national park. Let's zoom in a little closer so we get both of them in there. Maybe we can zoom in a teeny bit. There we go. Actually, you know what? I think I might zoom out and just focus. So we'll start our orbit there. Let's just pull back our radius a bit. So we try and get as much of the area as possible. There we go. How's that? Okay, so once you get to the rendering stage, I'll just zoom through this a little bit. You can go up to overlays and then simply import your KML file. And in this case, I have my Uluru National Park KML folder. And you can see it's added all of those sites. So now let's see what it looks like. You can see even just on this view, that it is adding all of my spots. There they are on my animation. And it's all ready for view. I'll just let you have a look at that for a little while. So, we've had a good look at all of the journalist level tools. There are a few more for me to look at, excuse me, for me to show you. Don't forget that Flourish allows you the ability to use maps in your animations and in your charts. You can also, if you want to, download maps from additional sources, like, for instance, a source like Simple Maps, to use in JSON or other formats in Flourish. As well as that, don't forget that at the absolute expert end of all of these tools, we have Earth Engine. Now, we saw that Earth Engine was where time-lapse used to live. Well, there are plenty of other map-based resources. Now, Earth Engine is a platform for Earth science data and analysis. And with it, you get access to a vast catalog of satellite imagery and geospatial data sets. While Google makes this tool and data set available to scientists, researchers, and developers to detect changes, map trends, and quantify differences on the Earth's surface, it's available for journalists to use too. But I would advise you, it does take some time to learn, but it is worth it. There have been some striking examples produced with it along the way. Look, one of the best was certainly The Wet Prince of Bel-Air. It was an investigation by the Center for Investigative Reporting's Reveal website, which used satellite images, an algorithm designed to track drought and landscape planning to identify who used an astonishing 45 million liters of water keeping gardens green during a drought in California. Well, we are at the end of our session for today. It's been fantastic being with you. Do make sure you keep your skills up by going along to the g.co/newstraining website. And certainly make sure that you sign up to any courses there that you might be interested in. I would recommend the Earth Studio content that's over there, because that is and will take you from pretty basic to pretty expert level when it comes to using Earth Studio as well as that. And don't forget, Google News Lab, we offer support for newsrooms. So just contact us. I'll leave that on screen for a little while longer. But for now, I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. And I really do hope you found this useful. I'll see you later. I'll see you next week for a little bit of training in using analytics for journalists.